Tango. This is W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Station, K2BAR. This is the TechNet.
Cut your audio back.
I'm sorry?
Gordon, if you can hear, you sound like crap, and you're not often making the repeater, K2DSL.
I'm sorry, I was distracted by local stuff. David, you're saying that my audio sounds terrible, but I'm making the repeater?
Well, your audio sounds terrible, yes, but sometimes you're not making the repeater either. It sounds like you're in a car with the windows open going down the highway at 80.
Well, I'm in a car going down the highway, and I'll just do what I can to not sound like I'm on the Burma Road, I guess. I trust I'm making it at this point, so we'll just go with it and see what happens. Alrighty. Format of the TechNet is you check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or another, or none of the above. So, we have many interesting things to discuss in amateur radio, and it's fairly easy to do. So any subject is pretty much available and eligible for conversation. So on that note, we'll start with check-ins from call signs beginning with Alpha. Any station with a call sign beginning with Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Am I not making it again?
You are making the repeater. Yes, you are making the repeeter fine.
Okay, so look down, and I know the repeat's got a shorter tail, but all right, very good. All righty. So, no Alpha stations, I guess? Something Romeo X-ray. Let's try that again. Okay, we'll get you when we, you know, you need to improve your signal, but I'm calling for Alpha stations at this point. Stations whose call signs begin with Alpha, not Kilo. Alrighty, so stations whose call signs begin with November, please call K2BAR.
Sis?
NS2K, is that you? Go ahead.
Yes, NS2K, no question at this point.
Thank you, Jim. Good evening. Alrighty. Any other November stations with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above? Alrighty. Let's try the ever-popular whiskey stations. Please call K2BAR.
WG2Y.
Do you have a question or comment? Do you have a name, sir?
This is Bruce. No, I don't have a question or comment. Just going to listen and jump in when the time's right.
Okay, Bruce. Yeah, we use a check-in procedure that's a little different than the others so that other people can learn other names without having to ask. That's the reason for the process. But anyway, so it would be W2XYZ. My name is Murgatroyd, and I have a question, or I have no question, or I have no comment, or I have a comment. I have a question, a comment, and no comment. All right, very good. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. Well, now we go to the ever-popular kilos. Kilo twos, no other suffix. Kilo twos. Your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above, please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, David, no question.
Good evening, David. Anybody else with kilos? Kilo twos.
2AMI, Tony, no question, but I have a comment.
Excellent, Tony. Welcome aboard. Any other kilo twos?
K2 Zulu, Charlie, Dave, no question.
Good evening, Dave. Always a pleasure to hear you as well. Any other kilo twos?
DOJ. No comment, just listening. Name is George.
Okay, well, I guess we're doing KX2s, as it were. KC2TO, Tango Oscar Juliet. Good evening, George. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos of any flavor, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
This is KC2SAV. Name is Al. No comment and no questions.
Hey, Al, very good. Welcome aboard as well. Anybody else?
KF2ID Ben with a question.
Okay, so we're registering one question and one comment tonight so far. Good evening, Ben. No problem. Any other kilos?
Okay. This is KC2TBD. No questions.
KC2TDC. Good evening. I didn't get your name, but I got no questions. Okay. Who is the station who just transmitted and was crunched by you? That's the station we want next. Whoever just transmitted, try again. K2BAR.
Kilo Charlie 2, Oscar Romeo X-ray, negative on all around.
You have no name. Your name is negative. No, I'm just fine. I'm just trying to do this as an instructional thing. KC2RX, your name is negative all around, and you have no comments. Okay. Hi, Robert. Good to hear you. All righty. Any other stations, kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Stuart, Kilo Charlie 2, Sierra Quebec, Papa.
Okay, very good, Stuart. Got you in. No problem. Do you have a question or comment or confusion?
Just listening. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Alrighty, any other kilo stations? Please call K2BAR.
KO2OK. Bennett, no question.
Okie dokie. Alright, Bennett, very good. Any other kilo stations?
KC2SGF Rachel, no question.
Sure. Helmut, and I'm confused.
I feel your pain, Helmut. And KC2SGF, I got you as well. Alrighty, any other kilo stations?
Kilo 2 Zulu Oscar, Jim.
Good evening, James. Okay, very good. Got Zulu Oscar. Do you have a question or comment?
Not at this time.
Okie dokie. Any other kilo stations? Now I know I have a whiskey call. It's on a shorter list. Lord. Any other stations, any call sign with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
W2JEK, Don, no question.
Hey, Don, good evening. Okay, very good. Anybody else?
KC2OCD, John, with a question.
KC2OCD, John, with a question. Okay. I love your suffix. Who was the other station who checked in with John and was crunched?
Kilo 2, Zulu, Bravo, Richard.
Dick, any comments, questions? Try that again. Any questions or comments, Dick?
No.
My stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We have a nice laundry list of questions, so, and we have one comment. So I think what we're going to do is take an order of question, comment, question, and we'll see what else that brings. So on that note, KF2ID, your question, Mr. Ben, K2BAR.
Okay, good evening, everyone. This question is not exactly ham radio, but it's technical, and it relates. More or less. My question is this. If I have a program on a computer, that is a program running on a computer, and I decide, gee, I'd like to transfer that program to another computer, so by copying it to a disk or direct transfer, regardless of the technology, if I just copy the program to the next computer, would that program work? And the reason I ask this, because sometimes programs are protected, or they say you can only do it so many times or something, or I don't know when the program is added to the computer and it starts to go into the register. Just copying the program would then automatically transfer those missing parts that end up into the register. So I don't know if anybody got an answer to that. It's KF2ID with K2VAR.
Okay. Well, it depends on what architecture, what systems architecture, operating system architecture the program was originally designed for, and if it has any proprietary security mechanisms. So, first things first, a lot of programs, when you install them today, if you're on a Pentium processor, especially the newer ones, newer Pentium processors, I should say, they have actually a CPU serial number, and they will use that serial number as a key to generate a value that's stored inside the program that as part of the validation. So you can't move it to another machine. They're using the actual CPU serial number as part of the indexing that's used to generate the runtime key for that program. Like I have a program that I use, well, several. I have BQ Log is like that. A lot of the good logging programs are like that these days. What else is like that? I have a program that I forget who makes it, but it's the Linco third-party programming software for their mobile rigs, and I think their HDs. And their install is tied to a serial number that goes with, it takes the serial number of the product that you bought, serial number of your processor, and it generates a number. You send it off to the company that you bought the software from, and then they send you back a key that will unlock the software. So that's one kind of thought. So then there are other things like, did you move the files and put them in the same location because it needs reference files in a certain directory? So sometimes there's issues of just, you know, making sure that the reference files are where they were installed in the, you know, same directory paths, things like that. If that's all in gear, then you sometimes can get away with it. That's the key to the. Those are two of the common modern problems that you'll find. But the second one is much more solvable than the first. Anybody want to add to that for Ben? This is K2BAR.
Comment, David.
Mr. David, go right ahead.
K2BAR, K2DSL. Ben, before I try to give you an answer, is there something specific that you're trying to do or copy, or just the question in general?
Yes, it might be said to be in general, because I'm going to buy a new computer, and I would like to transfer the programs from the old computer, not the operating system, not the whole thing. You know, I know you can probably copy the whole darn disk bit by bit, but if I just wanted to transfer some of the programs from the computer that I have to another computer, and they're a mixture of programs, I just wondered what would happen. Would things work? Would I have a complete mess? or just, I guess, some would work and some wouldn't. KF2ID.
K2VAR, K2DSL. Okay, so if I have to answer it generically, then the answer is most of the programs probably will not work if all you do is copy the directory that is obvious to you from one computer to another. Almost any program today that gets installed puts files elsewhere than in the obvious directory of program files / whatever directory it is it's installing it to. It'll put it into Windows, it'll put it in Windows System, Windows System 32, many other places throughout the system, and it'll mess with the registry. very basic programs, sure, you can probably copy them. Most of them might even try to fix themselves when they run and try to work on your new computer, but the vast majority of what you have, if they're commercial programs, will not work just by copying them. Back to net.
Comment.
Go ahead, Bennett.
Maybe a sidebar and a question for David, but if he's moving to a new computer, can he not use a mirroring kind of program, a ghost or something to move programs, including, well, including everything, from one hard drive to another?
If you use a program like Ghost, or which is now by Norton, or other programs, it's going to image his machine on computer A and put it on computer B. So whatever he's got will move over exactly as is. There's no, unless they've changed in the last, I don't know, 3 years or so since I've last messed with them, there's no sort of selective restore. You're restoring an entire image. So it would move over his operating system as it exists today, the device drivers as it exists today, all the files as it exists today on his old computer onto his new computer, in which case the files, he'd end up with new hardware and old everything on his old computer, including any drivers.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have any comments? Alrighty. Well, the next thing that comes to mind is that all these factors apply, and you know, David's really right about the about systems files being dropped everywhere and registry being modified. It's a nightmare. I have a package I use that, as he said, it will try to repair itself, find its database files, etc. But, for instance, if I have old versions of data that I've saved off elsewhere, it may go try to recover from an old database. So let's say you have multiple databases that you've saved in various places out of harm's way. It might, when you copy those things over, seize on three-year-old data and make that their database and say, oh, you want to use this one? And, you know, unless you've established nomenclature that's different, or remember what the current version is out there, you could really hose yourself up. So yes, it's to say the least delightful. Anyway, so let's see what goes next. I'll give it one more shot. Anybody else want to make any postscripts on the subject? Okay. Well, very good. Ben, do you have any follow-ups that you'd like to make?
Well, that's it. Okay, I thank everybody for the information. It tells me that I really can't do what I want to do without a lot of sweat and tears. So I'll just have to get the originals for each one of these programs that I want to copy. I mean, get the original discs or whatever the source is. Go back to the original source programs have any limits on the number of computers, I'll have to figure out with the manufacturers as how I can put on more than one computer. But thank you. it's going to save me a lot of trouble, of course, on what approach to take from the beginning. Thank you again. It's KF2ID with K2BL.
Okay. Very good. And the other postscript is that Norton Ghost is a very fine program and great for imaging stuff. I used to use it and have gotten away from it and need to get back to that because that's an awesome, awesome tool. What I do, just for your reference, I have a stack of disks associated with each one of my computers that, God forbid, I have to do a stepwise restore from ground zero. I do that. And actually, for my Toughbook, since there are no install disks with Service Pack 3 on it, in fact, not even Service Pack 2, for the version I have, the newer ones I have it, but I've actually got a little note, install the operating system, go to Microsoft Update, get your butt kicked, and 6 weeks from Sunday, get the install of all the service packs, all the security patches, all that happy nonsense. And if you have to go down that road, and then
ago and start installing, you know, applications one by one. So, but a ghost image is not a bad thing either. It saves a lot of stress on that. So, alrighty, our next speaker is Mr. K2AMI, who has a comment. K2BAR.
K2BAR in the group, and of course, Gordon. I did want to include David also in his comment, and that in yesterday's Bergen Records, there was a very distracting article put out by the Road Warrior. Somebody had written in and asked if CB radios were to be included in the hands-free operation of an operational law that's now in effect for cell phones. And the Road Warrior replied, not only are CB radios not included, are included, CB radios are included in the hands-free, but also ham radios are included. He indicated that all ham radios were not excluded from mobile operation. Of course, we know different from that. Over a year ago, there was a modification to the law on the press by some of the ARL staff, I think. And we are excluded from the hands-free law. David did respond with an email to the Road Warrior, and it might be a good idea if we flooded him with more emails. You have a chance to look at the Bergen Record of yesterday. There must be an address there that you can email to. Maybe David knows the address. I don't have it handy at my microphone here, but I think he should be straightened out, and a full apology and an article should be printed up. So just I thought that would be a good topic of discussion. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, and if you're going to go more than just a simple correction, you probably want to get the logic for why amateur radio operators are specifically exempt. I don't know if CB radio is. That's an interesting question. I would think not, but I'd like to think it was actually. But my gut feeling is it's probably not excluded. That they weren't happy about the exclusion in the first place. And there are people who firmly believe that they shouldn't be excluded. If you guys who've been hams, should we say, in the 30-plus year category, remember, there used to be a picture in the Radio Amateur's Handbook of a bent piece of coat hanger in tubing that was an over-the-head bracket that held a microphone up in front of the operator's face, but it was essentially worn like over the head and over the shoulders like a harness. But it was a thin piece of tubing, you know, with a coat hanger running through it, holding up the mic. And I do remember that it had a rather frumpy looking matronly lady from about the 1950s in the, wearing this thing in some, you know, large American beast. I mean, it was pretty funny, actually. But I do remember that picture when I was a kid. So, and that's because Connecticut had a prohibition against taking your hands off the wheels to use any form of communications except for law enforcement. And it wasn't until probably 25 years ago that law was finally lifted, oddly enough. It wasn't necessarily enforced, but it was lifted probably only about 25 years ago. Anyway, so I just thought that I had that little bit of historical perspective that what goes around comes around. One other comment. I don't subscribe to the Record. I won't buy it at the newsstand unless there's a compelling reason to. And you just give me another reason not to pay them my money. I vote. My strongest vote is with my dollar on it, however people are trying to devalue it. So I vote with my dollar. It's a beautiful thing. And that's not a partisan comment. That, trust me, that applies to everybody who's been in office for the last, I'll say, 10 years or so, 15 years. Anyway, on that note, we'll move on. And I think, is there any other follow-on comment about this subject that people would like to make? Please call K2BAR.
Comment, David.
David, go.
I don't actually get the Bergen Record anymore because I was never reading it. But I look at it online, so if anyone wants to see it, they can go to northjersey.com. And if you scroll down about halfway down the page, it's a long page. On the right side underneath an ad is a columnist section. You can actually click on it and read the Road Warriors CB radio included in Ban on Handhelds, and you can read the article there. And I read it there and actually responded to the guy from his email, which is on the page. So it's kind of mindless simple, and I found the document that they've been handing out at Kid Night in the meetings, and I sent him a link to where it was on the net. And I think that's what I sent him. Anyway, back to you, K2BAR, from K2D.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, there is a decided difference in focus and attention that's actually been measured between having something with your ear and your mouth that has to be aligned for you to hear and things like that and to conduct communication, than something that's just mindlessly out of your way of your mouth but not in your ear and as you're hearing through a speaker, and it's half duplex. That whole thing, that half duplex nature of two-way radio is another element that helps reduce distraction. So, I mean, I could design a test to make sure that hams look like monkeys, or CB operators look like monkeys, look like they're drunken sailors or whatever, but, you know, I don't think that's the point. In normal operation, it's a different focal distraction, to say the least. It's much lighter. Anyway, with that in mind, anybody else?
KC2AWX with a question.
Okay, Harvey, is this on this subject, or are you adding a question to the list?
I also read that article, and I did send a comment to them. If you have time, I'd like to ask a question. I'm studying the general class handbook right now, and I just came up, what is the 60 meter band? What is the purpose of it, and who shares that frequency with us? KC2AWS.
Okay, someone else want to answer that question? I'm at a little bit of a loss. So, does anybody have an answer for Harvey?
Didn't understand his question.
Harvey, you want to clarify your question?
Yeah, who uses the 60-meter band? And I noticed it's in five channels separated. And is that shared with a government agency of some sort? What's the purpose of it?
You can answer that.
Got you.
Yeah, the 60-meter band at 5 megahertz is channelized because the hams had petitioned to use that particular portion of the band. However, it is shared with some of the other government services, both here and overseas. So, as a compromise, what they did was channelize it, put specific frequencies, and if you tune across there, you'll see that some of the lower ones are more for DX, and you'll hear some Europeans on there. But remember that the power output is only limited to 50 watts. So people that are on there are doing experiments and doing other type things like that. They're not so much hamming as such and contesting and things like that. But remains to be seen how it will go. Maybe they'll give us more privileges there or whatever. But I think the hams were kind of disappointed the fact that what we got was only a channelized portion of the band.
All right, you just answered my question. Now I know what to study for. Thank you very much, sir. 2AWS.
Okay, just one comment I want to add. I like the 60-meter band. It doesn't have a whole lot of activity, but people are just civilized, you know. It's not too bad. I mean, you can't tune. Well, that's on your radio. Well, it's not tuned anyway. But it's it's a nice, it's really a nice band to operate. Good propagation, you know. I like it. 40 meters can be a mess sometimes because of all the broadcast junk. And so you can jump on, on 60 and often communicate the same place without the noise. So that's pretty good. Anything more, Harvey?
No. No. Oh, yeah. There's a question about a control operator using secret code to settle and the space platform. Now, that's a tricky question. What it really means, and why is that question in there in the first place?
Which question?
A control operator using, I guess it must be touch tone digital, to control the station on the shuttle and to the space platform. I'm wondering, why is that question in there in the first place in the exam?
Because it's privileges that passive license has a right to exercise, so they need to know what the rules are for that.
All right, that sounds reasonable. Thank you, gentlemen. Casey 2 AWX.
Harvey, anytime I can sound reasonable, I'm a happy man. Okay, very good. Tony, did we get to your comment yet? Yeah, we got to your comment, I guess, or did we? I can't remember now at this point. I'm going back to you. K2AMY, K2BAR.
Gordon, my comment was about the Road Warrior and the CB radio band. We did cover it. Thank you.
Okay, I was wondering if you were going to talk about this weekend, but for that, we'll take a quick standby and ask K2ZO to talk about this weekend. K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Alrighty, well, I guess as most of you know, the auction, the barrel auction, is this Sunday at the Westwood Junior Senior High School, which is located in Washington Township. But we've been there many times for the other events. 12 o'clock is the arrival time for people who are selling, so that you can register the equipment. And 1 o'clock, if you're going to come in and you know, just observe the facility, operation, and bid on things. So that's the way it goes. I think we'll have a pretty good turnout. I've had a lot of people sending me emails and calling me, so no doubt we're going to have a lot of people show up. And I think we kind of squashed the other idea that people thought it was the ham fest. Haven't had any of those calls in a while. So I think whatever got out there, at least the word got out to say, hey, it's not a ham fest, don't come at 5 a.m. And that's it. Back to that.
Okay. Very good. Very, very good. All right. Well, I know I'm looking forward to it, and assuming it snows Saturday night and renders the rink on Sunday useless, and or my son's team doesn't win on Saturday, I'll be there. Been one little glitch in the equation that playoff games were supposed to start Wednesday, and now they're starting Saturday. Hey. So we have one more question, then we'll go for more check-ins and more questions and comments. KC2OCD, your question, sir. K2BAR.
KC2OCD with K2BAR. Hold on. I just hit my radio. There we go. Okay. I got a two-part question. First part is, on my 10-meter radio, which is kind of old 10-meter radio, I have an SWR meter, and I don't think the SWR meter is possible to use when it's in line with an amplifier. That was my first question, Kim. So SWRs on the radio be accurate with the amplifier in line. Second question is, the amplifier I have is 150-watt amateur radio amplifier, and it's a prime. And I'm wondering what's the best wattage to put into the to drive the linear. Now my radio will do up to 25 watts. I seem to find that it works best at probably about 6-7 watts. Is that proper, or should it be taking more watts in to drive it? That's it.
Okay, let's take this in reverse order, okay? What kind of radio, or what band, and what kind of amplifier again?
It's 10 meter radio, and it's called the Emperor radio. I don't think too many people's heard of the Emperor. And it's 10 meter only radio, and does 25 watts max. What was the other question?
What kind of amplifier?
That's a prime. It's called a prime 150 watts.
Okay. So, all right, I get the picture now. All right, so what you want to do is if you insert an SWR meter between the rig and the amplifier, all you're getting, I mean, you have a couple of things. You're assuming it's a 50-ohm load in the input of the amplifier, and therefore whatever SWR reading you're getting back into, you know, toward the radio, if you will, is, you know, based on a 50-ohm load in the amp. If your output stops, or stops rising out of the amplifier at 7 watts from the exciter, from the Emperor radio, then you probably should stop. But one other thought, you need to probably check to see what the maximum input drive is, because let's say it's 5 watts and you're driving it with 7. Yeah, you might be getting a little extra power output, but you're probably also, you know, stressing your amplifier. So you need to know what the input power requirements are for that amplifier, number one. And number two, not overdo it. It's not a bad thing to back off 25% anyway. Your gear will last a whole lot longer. And, oh, by the way, a little less distortion, and your signal won't suffer appreciably, maybe a fraction of a dB. So that's that. Now, if you want, you can put the SWR meter on the far side of the amplifier, assuming it's rated for that output power level. You can do that as well. And that's fine. You can absolutely do that. And then it will be measuring the SWR of the antenna, albeit, you know, with the feed line and everything else in between. But so if you have radio, jumper cord, amplifier, jumper cord, SWR bridge, antenna feed line, antenna, then the SWR reading you're going to take at that point is of the combined, you know, impedance of the antenna and the feed line that's going from the antenna to the SWR meter. KC2OCD, let's see, before I give it to you, see if anybody else wants to add to that. It's K2BAR.
Is he running AM or signal sideband?
That's a good question. Mr. John?
The regular sideband, what is it, upper sideband, I think it is.
Okay. Very good. Jim, you wanted to say something?
Hi, this is K2ZO. The only comment I have mentioned, obviously the SWR bridge is in the radio, and so the only thing that it's going to measure is the SWR of anything connected to the radio, whether it's an antenna or whether it's the input of the amplifier. That's what it's going to measure. I'm not sure what that amplifier is or what kind of a class it is, but obviously... there's got to be some kind of a drive level. Is it a solid-state amplifier?
It's it's quite an old amplifier, so I think it is solid state. It definitely doesn't have no tubes or anything. And the other question was that, so the SWR readings that are on the radio, because the amplifier is after the SWRs, are not going to be correct, because the SWRs on the radio are high with the amplifier in line. But obviously if I put a meter on the end of that and measured the SWRs from the antenna, everything's fine and nice and low. So I don't have to, I just want to make sure I don't have to worry about the high SWRs between the radio and the amplifier.
You may have to. If the amplifier is not matched to the input of the radio, you can get a lot of distortion. Not sure what you have or how it's set up, but obviously if the amplifier is set up for a 50 ohm input, then the SWR between it and the radio should be fairly low. So a little confusing there. So maybe you need to do a little bit of research on that thing.
I got you. Okay. So I know. Okay, I understand exactly now. Yeah, because if I lower the power going into the amplifier, the SWRs come down on the radio. So the best thing to do is make sure that SWRs on the radio are as low as possible, plus you want the good SWRs, obviously, by the antenna. So to get my best match into that amplifier is getting a nice SWR low between the radio and the amplifier, correct?
Well, if you're changing the power and you see a difference in the SWR, then something is very weird with the SWR meter you have in the radio, because the SWR shouldn't really change with power if it's a true SWR meter. Borrow an SWR meter from somebody and put it between the radio and the amplifier to verify that it really does match. And that'd probably be a good idea. The other thing you need to verify is that amplifier really a linear amplifier? Or is it a Class C amplifier designed for AM?
It has the switches on it where it says sideband and AM on the amplifier itself. So I would imagine it should be good enough. You know, it says sideband AM switch. So obviously on sideband, I use it on sideband.
Okay, well that's a good sign. All right. The answer is get somebody to listen to it and just start bringing the power up and have them listen to you if you don't have a scope or anything like that. And it'll be very obvious once you start distorting and overdriving. Go ahead.
Got it. Appreciate it. Thank you. KC2OCD with K2BAR. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and I would bring it down. Once it stops distorting, I bring it down another 25%. As I said earlier, you'll be a lot happier with the longevity of the equipment. Alrighty. Well, that's pretty cool. Anybody else have questions, comments, or confusions, please call K2BAR.
K2JEK with an announcement.
Announcements. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, K2BAR from W2JEK will be running a test session tomorrow night at the high school at 7 o'clock. Been on the variable on the ARRL's website. I've had some people call about it, so just to remind anybody that it will be there. We'll be there. Back to that. W2JEK.
That's awesome. Another announcement is that there will be another one-day tech class on April 17th. It's the Friday after Easter, Good Friday plus 7, in Bergen Fields. St. John the Evangelist from Megumpa Church in the basement where we've had them before. And Don has assured me that an esteemed cadre of his colleagues will be accompanying each other and providing tests about 7 o'clock that evening. So that's pretty cool, too. So we're working that. And Joel is looking like he will probably join us again. And 2IAG is our star instructor, so I'm really happy about that, too. if anyone would like to volunteer to help during the day or to help with the DE team, see me about the daytime and see Don about the nighttime, and that would be excellent. Any questions on that subject or those two subjects, K2B Air? Okay, another announcement is that the CERT course that is being run by the County of Bergen starts next Wednesday evening, I think at 7 o'clock at the Fire Training Center, Police Fire and EMS Training Center, Law Public Safety, whatever they call it, up in MAWA. And if you're interested, shoot me an email, w2tangotangotango@awrl.net. They can send you not only that course, but other courses that will be starting or have started, because you may be, you know, you can mix and match pieces of different courses if you're trying to fill in a date that where you had to miss a session. But the Community Emergency Response Team course is alive and well and being given out. CERT Day, by the way, is the middle weekend. I think it's the 14th or 15th. That's Saturday of March. And that would be, I guess, the 14th. And so keep that in mind as well. If you're a CERT member anywhere and you'd like to learn more, again, shoot me an email or shoot Gidget Petrie, Officer Reed Petrie, a note if you have her email. If not, I can get it to you. And I have heard, state of New Jersey is adopting a teen CERT program for youth 13 and above, and they're just getting ramped up to organize for the trainer course for that this spring, with, I think, the idea of running courses either over the summer and the fall when school starts. So that's really cool, too. So a lot of our USA prayers have been answered, and I can send you information on that as well. So any other check-ins, comments, questions, confusions on any subject, these or others, please call K2BAR. Well, I guess that's that for tonight. And I want to thank everybody for checking in. And hope that everybody has a fine rest of the evening. Some of you will see you tomorrow night, or some people will see each other. And, of course, Sunday we'll see hopefully a lot more. So, Godspeed, and I want to thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of the repeater tonight, as always. And encourage support of that group as well. And what else? That's it. So, this is K2BAR, W2TTT for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. Thank you very much, and have a great night.